It is my honor and privilege to welcome to the pulpit today Bishop Reuben Kuenzie, longtime friend and servant of the Lord. He's got stories and pictures, and we're just going to have a time of it, okay? Would you just welcome Bishop Reuben as a guest?
Thank you. Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
Can we all say jumbo?
Jumbo.
That's easy. Hakuna Matata. It's good to see each one of you. The light is hitting me, so I can't see who is who. But sometimes when you come here, it's you have so much to share with so short of a time. So buckle up. We're going to be on Kenyan time. We are done when we are done. But it's good to be here. I bring you greetings from my family. But there's a song, it's a hymn that has been, the whole week I've been singing it. I got back from Rwanda, the nation of Rwanda, a few weeks ago, and this song has been in my heart. The good problem is I'll sing it in Swahili. How about that? Yeah. It's International Sunday. And it was good when a few Sundays ago when I watched Judah online. By the way, Dave, worship team here, it feels like I'm here every Sunday because it's Sunday evening back home. So I'm able to follow the service. And I don't want to miss the worship part. Not that I don't like Pastor Rich preaching. But your worship is just something. And I hope someday you can find your way to Kenya and bring it over. Hapana rafiki kama Yesu, yu peke, hapana mpozi kama Yesu, yu peke, Yesu ajua shida zetu, aweza kutuongoza. Hapana rafiki kama Yesu, yu peke, yeye anaye sifani Yesu, yu peke, ndiye aliye mnyenyekevu, yu peke, Yesu ajua shida zetu, aweza kutuongoza. Hapana rafiki kama Yesu, yu peke, there is not a friend like a lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one, there is not one that is so near us, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like a lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Amen. Amen. There is not a friend like a lowly Jesus. He sticks closer than a brother. Amen. I just want to share a few of what God has done in the last 1 year. This morning worship was very weepy for me. Very weepy, especially when you think of God's faithfulness. After Jesus, my family comes next. And that's my wife's graduation. She was in Bible school, and we went all the way to Nakuru. And you can tell I'm the tallest of all. Hallelujah. And that's us. That was the day I was coming at the airport. They came to see me off, and we quickly got one before I came on a long... This was longest. I'm still recovering. At least last night, I woke up at 3 in the morning. That's the queen in the house who takes good care of us. And she's praying for us this morning. I hope someday she can make it here. Now, from there we go. We've been doing a lot of the last probably more than 5 years. God sent me to the northern Kenya in Turkana, where a lot of churches there are found meat under a tree. So they try to make these a pieces of sack. They cut them and make something. But once we get the funds, and I want to thank Cornerstone for your continued support. I always smile when Pastor Rich sends me a text. Just came from the bank. You can tell it goes to a worthy cause. That's one of our churches in Turkana in the place called Lodwar. We've planted 15 churches in the last 5 years, and most of them under a tree. We've also started a feeding program there. We go to feed the children every December. So this December, pray with us. We always believe God to provide so we can give the children a Christmas meal every December. And they love lollipops too. So we buy a lot of that there. These are elders there. Normally it's tricky there. The elders don't mingle with the women and the children. So we serve the children and they sit there patiently waiting. So we have to make sure there's some meal left for them. Otherwise they will not fight over it, which is kind of a good thing because they want the kids to first eat. So this was waiting time. I looked at them. I think we had served over 300 kids and they were like, when is ours coming? So that was good, but they have been a blessing to us. That's Pastor Jackson, the very first pastor I met in Kakuma, in Turkana. His church was under a tree. We worshipped there, and when it rained, they wouldn't meet, and that was the building we helped him build with the help of people like you, and he has a place. The day we finished building, we started on Monday, and we were done on Saturday, so we worshipped there on Sunday. When we went on Sunday, we found him there. He spent the night on Saturday. He was so excited. He spent the night on the floor, and it's dirt, but it's gold. And I've also started a project where I'm getting the pastors their motorbikes to help them go into the bushes, because some of the churches are way in the bushes, and they help me send them because I don't have to go every time. Now I can use them to go visit the churches, take pictures and send them and let me know what's going on. So this is a motorbike we bought for. The pastor with the blue is Pastor Sammy. We call him Sammy. And he's been a blessing to our ministry since we got to know him about 3 or 4 years ago. All right, someone just got his meal. You can tell they were looking forward. Now, I want you to notice the color. This is rice. The color of that food is the color of the water. That's how the water is. And there's no other thing we do. Actually, when I buy juice to mix for the kids, we can't taste it. We have to let them, because for us to taste that, you feel sick right away and go to the hospital. But for them, it's Christmas time when they get that. So we put them, and then we line the kids to come picking, and we put 2 lollipops on every plate. So as they come to pick the plate, they have 2 lollipop candy to go sit down. And you can tell they love candy more than the meal first. So they start with the candy. I forgot that meal. I mean, that video. Maybe next time. So this is the local ladies helping us. Now, that is one family we found last year, December, when we was doing a Christmas meal. The parents died, and we took over them. This shirt, I was given these T-shirts by a church in Sunbury, Higher Hope, and they said, you take them. And I didn't know where to take them. So when I went home, December, I carried them, and the pastor introduced this family and said, they are all orphans. So we're taking care of them and getting them to school, and it was a good photo for them. But it's not all of them. It's up to where they have the T-shirts. The rest just wanted to join and show off. Amen. That's now our new church site. The Lord is faithful. I remember when Alan Ross, right, was here, he gave me a prophetic word, breakthrough season. I still have it on record. And I thought it was like tomorrow. He gave me that. And very interesting, after he prophesied over me that it's a breakthrough season, I went to a meeting in Ohio, and there was a prophetic conference. And the prophecy came to me right where I was seated, and he repeated the same words, breakthrough season. When I went home, we were getting kicked out from where we gather. We pay rent. We used to pay rent. The Lord graciously, miraculously provided for us to purchase that piece of land. And not only the land, but even the tent. So we pitched the tent there. That's where we meet now. The tent is almost getting full. There's a powerful outreach going on there. People are hungry. We've been going house to house evangelism on Saturdays, reaching out to the community, sharing the love of Jesus. So that's where we got the tent. That's a Sunday worship service inside the tent. We thank God for his provision. And we have two small tents on the side that are for the Sunday school kids, the teens and the young kids that meet there. And we thank God for that. All right. Are we done? We're done? Yeah. This is a brief preview of the place. We've started doing the foundation columns, but we are also doing the washrooms. We thank God that so far we need about 50 foundation columns. We've done so far 14 of them. We're continuing as the Lord supplies. We do the work slowly. But what we are working on now is the washrooms that the city council wants us to do. Otherwise, we'll be in big trouble. And those are the washrooms right there at that corner that we hope by the next couple of weeks they should be done. And once they're done, while I'm here, I told them to send me a photograph and I will throw it to Pastor Rich. And you're going to see the finished washroom. This will be washrooms on one side. But for now, we'll use them both for gents and ladies. And then when we're done, the other side, these ones will be for the ladies. And the other side, we are yet to build for the gents. So that's where we are now. It's permanent for us. We have the legal right to be there. We have signed everything. And it feels good to be where you belong, you know, to be home. The top building behind the tent, there's an office I've rented there. So most of the weekdays, I spend the time there in the office and a few times in the tent praying. And I guess that's it. Those are the temporary toilets or washrooms we are using. It's just a piece of hole, the African way. Yeah, and there's someone who came from, I don't know, from Florida. They came for a mission trip, and they passed by there, and they asked for the washrooms. We took them there, and she came crying. It's a hole. I said, yeah, that's what we use. She's never seen anything like that, and that's why it's good to travel. All we needed is the tiles, and they came while I was here. The guy you're seeing is Precious. Precious is Pastor Ben's son, the late Pastor Ben, who lead the Party's Heart in Eldoret Soy. And he came, he's an engineer, so we asked him for some advice, and this day he was there to come and help us see where we are and whether we're doing the right thing or we need to destroy everything. But he said we are in a good cause. That was encouraging. Although it's good to hear from professionals. I guess that's about it. And that's Margaret over there. She, every time I have a meeting, it's good to hear her wisdom. Don't do that, or we can do that. Because they have a sense we don't have. Right? Amen. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Amen. I just mentioned, I hope I have until 12. No, I'm just kidding. 12 something. But I want to share something. A few weeks ago, I went to Rwanda. We have a church there we planted a few years ago. And Rwanda is different than other nations. You cannot start a church like we do in Kenya under a tree or even the tent. You must have a building and everything all set up. And the last few weeks after the elections, the president was sworn in and they closed close to 10,000 churches. Now, when you go online, I don't know about here, but social media lies all the time. Media is lying. They say 4,000. But I was on the ground. It's almost 10,000 churches. They closed them down, and half or maybe 75% of the churches that were closed down will not reopen again. Because the requirements they desire them to have, they cannot afford. So I went there to go help our pastors to, you know, they need stuff like this where the sound has to be, doesn't go out. They have to do washrooms for the physically disabled. A lot of requirements required for you to restart the church. And we found out, I think we had three or four of them out of probably 10 we have not done yet. So we went there, I went there, and we were working, and it felt funny. And I always tell people, I don't know how people feel comfortable sitting at home on a Sunday morning. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It felt very funny for the first time on a Sunday, and I couldn't go to church because we were not allowed to. We were busy working to prepare for them to be able to be allowed. Now, he just told me last week after he finished the four things that they demanded another requirement. So a lot of churches will not reopen. And this took me, it challenged me. What are we doing as a church in these evil days? Where are we? And it took me to the book of 1 Peter. When Peter wrote the book of this book, I just want to share a little bit about it. This is a book that was written because of what was going on then. It's like what is happening in the world today. There's a decline in morality. There's inflation hitting our nations. I don't know about this country. There is a war in Ukraine and Russia. China is asserting itself globally. I was last year in Malawi, and when we flew to Malawi, we used Ethiopian Airlines, and we had to fly through Congo, and we had so many Chinese landing there. They are now full in Tanzania. Was there? They are taking all over the world. Israel is fighting a war on seven fronts. And as I said, morality is on the high. And when you see all this, you know, I watched, I'm not very political, but the other day we watched when I follow keenly your politics because I pray for this nation. And I saw the shooting that was going on on former President Trump. I know I can say that. You guys can keep quiet. But when you look at those things, do they tell you something? Do they throw some signals to you? They tell you all those are just a few of the myriads of things that are taking place in the world today. There seems to be a very little hope in the world right now as we look in the physical eyes. No hope for peace, no hope for prosperity, no hope for the for the persecuted Christians around the world. Look at China, like Rwanda. They're crying, they're sitting home. A few months ago, we had the Gen Z storm the city of Nairobi. They stopped every business in the country. They wanted to change the government. And somebody asked them, what do you do? What do you do if you take over? You know what that means? And as Peter is writing this letter, I want to say, as believers, we are being verbally attacked, physically. You know, we are marginalized. There is murder. If you go to Nigeria, they are killing Christians. Persecution all the time. But as you read the book of 1 Peter, it brings us hope. Yes. There is hope in the midst of darkness. There is hope in the midst of the warfare that you're facing. Thank you very much. I needed that. There's hope. We may think, man, where are we heading to? I was talking to Annie this morning, and I was telling her I follow them on Facebook for prayers. They ask for prayers, and I only click and pray, but she's given me permission to comment on it and write something. But we pray for this. And when you see all these things, you wonder, is there hope? I read a scripture before I read 1 Peter. Allow me to read Hosea 2:15, and you see, it says, and I will, Hosea 2:15, it says, and I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came out of the land of Egypt. You know, I like that portion of scripture verse that says a door of hope in the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble. In the midst of all this, there is hope for the church of Jesus Christ. And I want to read 1 Peter chapter 1, the first few verses. Very quickly, I'm going to touch a few things. If you read 1 Peter, he begins, I won't read the whole of it, but I have verses 1 to 9. But he opens the scripture by calling himself the apostle of Jesus Christ. And he calls himself Peter. And then he says to the strangers who are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And Peter is saying something to us here. He begins by referring to himself as Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was Simon before, Simon Peter. That was his old nature. And that word Simon, or name Simon, is found about 50 times in the New Testament. But Jesus gave him a new name and he says, it's Peter, meaning the rock. So this, look at those two. Now he has two names, Simon Peter. The Simon represented his old nature and his old way of life and his old habits and actions. He was high-headed, he was big-mouthed, he was a rough fisherman, he was easily discouraged, he was a wishy-washy. But Jesus calls him rock, presenting the new nature, the new way of life, the new habits. So Peter, a stone, a rock, a stable man. So what Peter was really saying here is that this is not Simon. This is not the big-mouthed fellow you knew. And that's why we say, do not judge people with their past. You are underestimating the power of the blood of Jesus, the grace that works. His mercies are new every. If you judge me by yesterday, you are underestimating what God's grace is doing for me today. His mercies are new every morning. We don't depend on yesterday's. So this is not Simon, the one who was a big mouth. But he says, this is Peter the rock, the apostle of Jesus Christ. This is a new man that is talking to you. There is hope for us, he's saying. And I just want to quickly go to the scripture because of time and share why is Peter writing this. He wrote this epistle to encourage the saints of that day. And we remember it was the days of Nero, Emperor Nero, after the war and made people get scattered. That's why Peter said he writes this letter to the saints who are scattered all over. All over. Cornerstone, we have saints all over scattered. I like what Pastor Rich said. When we see these flags, we don't see just flags. We see people. People who need Jesus, who people need hope. I love it when I go to Turkana. The kids come and gather, and all they see is candy, lollipops. And you know, when you go to the church, one Sunday, I think I shared this last year, every time I go to church, I come outside, they're already outside and lining up waiting for candy. So one day I forgot to buy candy, went to church, we finished. I don't know why. And when I walked out, I saw them all, like five lines lined up together, all kids. Pastor Reuben, Pastor Reuben. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't have candy. So I quickly whispered to the driver. I said, run to the store, get candy. I'll hide myself inside the church until you show up. 20 minutes later, he shows up. I walk out, and oh, excitement. That's all they desire. And you know what? It's always weepy every December. We don't normally do it on Christmas, but later before Christmas, we go there, every village we go to. Kids are ready. We go to the store. We buy beans and rice. We send it by motorbike with the pastors in the morning, so that by the time we get to the village, already they have cooked the meals, prepared everything. So we just go there and start serving the food. We are done serving there. We go to the next village. It's hot there. And by the time we probably do 3 to 4 villages, depending on the distance. Sometimes when it rains, we can only do 1 or 2 because it's a messy road. The vehicles get stuck there. But Peter is writing to encourage the saints. And I want to encourage you before we call it off this morning, that no matter what happens in our lives, God is in control. And God knows what he is doing. He is in control. It doesn't matter what you may be facing this morning. I want to be reminded many, many times that God is in control. We stayed in that place where we bought the land, before we bought the land, for 30 years. I have gone to churches. I've helped give towards building churches. But times I'll go home and ask, Lord, what about us? Pastor Rich and Dave, you've been there. And Mom, Mary, it was a tiny iron when it's hot. Remember that time you missed the flight and you came in the morning and I took you straight to the pulpit and the cooking was done behind the pulpit and the smoke, and I looked at their faces and I told the pastors, we have to let these guys go take a nap and rest. It was hot, but the Lord has given us grace. Why? Sometimes we need the Lord to encourage us. He is in control. He will do what he wants to do in his time. So Peter told them, he is telling us that when bad things happen, we need to remember 3 things that I want to quickly mention. Number one, we need to remember who we are. You need to remember who you are. You're a child of God. You are the elect of God. You are chosen. The world may call you names, but you are. That's what he says in verse 2. He says, Peter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The word elect here means you're chosen of God. You're handpicked. God has handpicked you and chosen you to be his child. And he says, through sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter was saying that when the blood of Jesus was applied, you were set apart unto God and you now belong to him. I need to be reminded that every day. As I walk, I am a child of God. I am a child of the Father. He takes care of me too. I am chosen and I have been redeemed. If you're not truly born again, then you need to choose to be a child of God. As I walk, I know I am a child of God. You know, when I arrived here, I was sharing how I had trouble with the customs, and I almost wrote Margaret, say, hey, you wait for me tomorrow. I guess I'm getting the next flight home. I had a suitcase that needed to be checked that I took for someone, and I should know better. But if you are truly born again, nothing can separate you from the love of God. So Peter is trying to say you need to remember who you are. Number two, second, Peter is telling them to remember what they are. Don't you forget that. He says you are strangers scattered He calls them, he's writing to the strangers that are scattered. The Greek word here is a combination of three words that literally translate those who are called to live alongside those of a heathen culture as strangers or pilgrims. So we are Christians called to live beside those who are heathen. The world needs to know we are chosen. The world needs to see that. The Bible calls us a number of things. We are the elect of God. We are the children of God. We are saints. We are strangers. We are heirs and joint heirs. We are pilgrims. You know, I was renewing my driver's license. One of the questions they ask you here, are you a U.S. citizen? Yes or no? There's no number three. But I ask you, are you a citizen of America? I say, no, we are all citizens of the kingdom of heaven. This is a temporary home. We are all passing by. Okay? A stranger is someone who is away from home, like Bishop Reuben. But a pilgrim is someone who is on his way home. And we are pilgrims, all of us here. The world is not our home. We are away from home, but we are on our way home. The word pilgrim is interesting and sheds a lot of light on our lives as Christians. Let's look at several things here quickly. A pilgrim are on a journey. They are traveling from one place to another. And as Christians, we are traveling from this world to the world that is prepared for us. Life is a temporary trip to a final destination. We are on a journey. Praise the name of the Lord. We are pilgrims who seek no permanent dwelling place on this earth. John says in 1 John 2, he says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The other thing I want to remind us, pilgrims do not conform to the place in which they are living. We cannot conform to this world. We are called to live right. We are called to shine as the light of the world. I remember sharing with you a story here one time during Katrina. I was flying to Alabama, and there was the pilot said, we're going to have rough air. And as we were taking off, it was rough. And everybody was screaming, Mom, Dad! Yeah. And I thought, maybe I'm the only Christian here. So I started saying, Jesus, on the top of my voice, Jesus. And there was a gentleman sitting next to me say, keep calling that name, sir. I say, thank you, Jesus. And it cooled the storm and we flew safely. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are strangers. Pilgrims do not have citizenship in the country they are passing through. And finally, the third thing Peter was reminding them, and I want to stop there, is he wanted to remind them, remember why you are here. Why are you here? Why are we here? If I can ask Judah when he was sharing about Honduras, I followed online. When he was calling, I thought, are you serious? You're calling Judah? He's been out? Oh, cool. Yeah. The next one should be Kenya. That was him saying, I have not just been called to sit down here. I have a purpose to fulfill. I have a life to touch. And maybe when we get to heaven, Judah, you'd be surprised. You touched one soul that will never forget what you did to them in your short visit there. It was short, but there was an eternal impact. Sometimes we underestimate that. I go to Bukembe, Mom Mary. There's a lady, you carried her child. She's never forgotten that. You may never come back again, but in heaven we'll have stories to share. Why are you here? Do you have a mission? Do you have a purpose? So Peter is telling those who have been scattered, it was God who allowed the things to happen to them that placed them where they are. I love it when you guys say you're praying for us, because I know you do. Remember when you prayed for the pastor, the church, that people were raped, you women were raped?
Yes. Yes.
That church, right now, they are building a bigger structure because it has overgrown. God used the mess to bring a message of hope.
Amen. Yeah. Awesome.
Now he's calling us to help him expand. You prayed, I remember, I made a phone call to Cornerstone. And on the phone, you prayed. And I went to Bukembe in Western Kenya and shared with them. There's a church in U.S. And guess what? God is not limited by distance. You may pray here, I may pray in Kenya, and he does it right here. So God did for a purpose what he did. So if you find yourself in trouble, just don't forget you're a pilgrim. You're passing by. And so don't you forget that you are the elect of God, the chosen of God. You're a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. And that you have a work to do for God to win souls for Jesus. I want to close with that with a story. Many years ago, I went to preach in a high school in Kenya. The principal invited me to talk to the students. Our schools are boarding schools. They had gone on strike, burned the school, messed up everything. So when I went to the preach on Sunday, was the day the students were coming back. It was a boys' boarding school. And so they were ready to kick away the ringleader. Is that right? Yeah, the ringleader of the strike. It's a young man. So I went there and I preached. And I preached on the love of God. I say, you did crazy things, you did wrong things, but God still loves you. And he wants you to make things right. And I preached for like 30, 45 minutes, and the first person to give his life to the Lord was the ringleader. He got saved, gave his life to Jesus. The school pardoned him and said, we're going to watch you. He finished high school. We had contact for a few months, and we lost contact for like 10, 15 years. I forgot. And all of a sudden, I find a message on my Facebook Messenger. Are you the brother Reuben who came to such and such a school and preached the gospel? I said, yes, I am the gentleman who gave my life to Jesus. And I lost touch with you, and I decided to look for you on Facebook. Do you ever come to the States? That time, I was planning my trip that week to come to the States. Yes. I said, yes, I do. He said, I'm in Boston. And I started a church in Boston, Massachusetts. Would you love to come and preach for me? This gospel is sweet. Throw your bread upon the waters. And after many days, you will find it. Sowing seed. This man is now preaching in Boston. He started a church. And the other day they ordained him in the ministry. Know why you are called. You can touch lives. Don't ever look down on yourself. You are special to God. Let's stand and pray together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, to remind us who we are. In the midst of it, to remember you are in control. We pray for men and women across the globe who are serving you, some of them in very difficult situations, Christians being persecuted. Wouldn't you remember and encourage them to know your presence is there with them? You've promised never to leave them nor forsake them. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless. Thank you for Cornerstone and the opportunity. They have been a blessing to the nations of the world, reaching out either through their prayers and their giving. I pray that they will continue not to give up, to remember who they are and what you've called them to be and to do in touching lives and seeing souls saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.